You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I am Steve Dotto on this cold and wintry evening in late December. Art Factora joins me and we are here today to talk all things digital as we head into our final show before Christmas. Art, how are you doing?
I am doing well. Is there an app for driving in the snow? Because I don't think anyone's using it.
You know, Chris Vancouver, we do such a good job of handling inclement weather here in this city. It's just a disaster. And then, of course, closing down bridges left, right, and center is the first time. I can't recall having bridges shut down before.
I heard that it wasn't because of drivers. Apparently, I guess, because of the slush and the snow and snow turning to ice. I guess as snow is falling from rafters or you know, the suspension
the
on the bridge
and stuff.
Yeah, it's falling on cars and potentially
being dangerous.
Yes.
And the wind was fierce. As I was driving along at one point today, going along the highway, the wind was coming straight at me, and the rain was coming down, or the sleet and snow was coming down so hard that it was forming, there was waves of water being blown by the wind. So it looked like the surface of the river as the water is being blown, and the tops where it was cresting, it was actually blowing it off and it was becoming spray.
Wow.
It was that strong a wind. I was going, whoa, that's impressive.
I was going to say the water planing, hydroplaning is what scared me on the drive-in.
Yeah, that's always, because it cools so badly.
Yeah, the snow covers the drains, and all of a sudden you're driving over top of a little lake, and your car doesn't like
it. Or you're going beside somebody, or you're going past somebody in the opposite direction as they've gone through it, and it's just a sheet of water coming your way.
Christ.
Or slush.
Be
yeah,
safe.
Fun stuff.
Be safe.
Drive carefully. So so Christmas is on the horizon, and is it a big deal in the Factora clan? Is it a gathering all the Factora, the little Factoras and big Factoras?
Well, we're all now, we have our own separate lives. All my siblings have kids, so they all do Christmas at their own place. But we like to get together a few days before and have a Factora clan meeting.
Mm-hmm.
At my house when we were growing up, it was more National Lampoon Christmas and less Leave It to Beaver Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a lot of, it wasn't a Factora Christmas until someone got angry, fought, and stormed out of the house and didn't come back till Boxing Day.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, it's we all have different Christmas memories.
Oh, good. So you're hoping for that this year? It's going to be a good year if somebody gets mad?
Well, I think the fact that we don't live together anymore, it's
helps.
Very easy, yeah.
Now, do you do the Secret Santa thing? Do you do that whole business of instead of having to get individual gifts for everybody, you gather together and do a Secret Santa?
I try and get small things for everybody as opposed to the one we talked about.
Do you give
them
chocolate?
Worked.
Do you give them chocolate? Is that the thing?
I give them chocolate from my job. Yes. They love it, though.
So it's free stuff.
They love it.
It doesn't count the same when it's free stuff.
Well, to them, it's still
stuff.
It's
like my kids, if I give them technology, they think I got it for free and they don't think that it's worth as much.
Yeah, but you're the father. You should be giving them some. I'm just a sibling.
Yeah, okay.
I got no one to impress. If they don't like it,
don't
give it to me.
My family started doing this Secret Santa thing. And what we do is you have like a limit of like $75, and all the siblings, we all put our names in, and then this website spits out exactly who you're paired with.
Oh.
And then you post exactly what you want on the site, so you know what the list is. And everybody's the exact same. It's I want an iTunes gift card, or I want a gift card from this place. And because we have a $75 limit, we say we want a $75 gift card because we don't want a penny left. And so basically, all that we're doing is getting gift cards.
Well, all you're really doing is just trading $75 between everybody.
When I think about it, it's the most useless thing.
Yeah, just keep your money and just shake hands and hug.
Yeah, we could do that. But nevertheless, this is what we do.
Very efficient.
And of course, there's always one member of the family who puts in the gift card from the inaccessible single store down on Davie Street. You know, that you have to go into town and you have to drive right downtown because there's only one store like it in the lower mainland.
That's just their way. That's their passive-aggressive way of spying with you.
Treat me as though I'm special. And I didn't get that person this year, so that's all cool. Actually, I haven't checked what my Secret Santa wants. But regardless, they're getting a like an iTunes gift card.
You're waiting until Friday, just in case the Mayans were right, save some money.
Well, that's the whole theory is, yeah.
Why waste your time shopping?
Waste your time shopping before Friday. But we'll see. We'll have to see. Now, is there any technology, as you look at the mix of, since we are a computer show, we should talk technology a little bit. Is there any technology in that mix that has just attracted you that you really need to get, that you want this year?
I am actually going old school. Everything that I want, I got the iPad for myself. I have my iPhone, Apple TV. I'm okay with today's technology. I've actually asked Santa, or somebody who is acting as Santa this year, to get me an LP player. A record player.
So, Damara, you've drunk Damara's Kool-Aid, is what you're saying.
I just think that
Do you have records?
No, and that's I got to start art. I don't have a collection. I got to start somewhere.
So you're gonna start from scratch on vinyl. You're gonna move it. And what is the reason? Do you have that discerning an ear?
Probably not. And I don't have a big enough or fancy enough stereo. No, it's just...
Come see my record collection, because that is a good line.
I don't have...
It's one that they haven't been able to do for a long time. Come see my CD collection, doesn't have the same ring.
I feel like when I walk through like some sort of the computer section of a store, I look around and I'm like, you know what? I got that earlier this year. I got that last year. I'm okay. But I don't know. I saw something and I thought, you know what? That's what I want.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just I'm a guy and guys like things and I think... starting a record collection is something that's attainable to me.
Okay, so you're going to actually start collecting pieces of vinyl, going through the and buying. Now, a lot of the new music is being released in vinyl, too.
Exactly.
So you're
going to
buy
that way,
and you're going to sit down and listen. You're going to sit down and listen.
That's the
plan.
You're
going to have a cognac and sit down and enjoy.
That is the plan.
And so now you know that with a record player, you have to get everything else. Like the stereo system is not a record player. A stereo system is a turntable, and then an amp, usually a preamp, and then a set of speakers, and you're talking not an inconsequential amount of money.
I could just get nice headphones. I mean, this is just for me, really. So I suppose I could get an amp and plug it straight in with a nice pair of headphones and just sit back.
Does that count?
Why not?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Damara.
I think so.
He won't be on until January again. Well, when we get him on, we'll ask him about that.
I think it would work.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I don't want any technology for Christmas either.
See?
I never do. Yeah.
Because you get it all for free.
I don't get it all for free. Although I don't get it all for free. I am looking forward to January, though, now that things are coming, because I'm actually kind of getting interested and excited about what's happening with on January 30th. That's the BlackBerry launch, BlackBerry 10. And I'm going to go back to Toronto for it. It's that big a deal. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to go to the big launch just to see what RIM's doing.
Is this where BlackBerry says, hey, look, everybody, we have the answer to the iPhone. It's essentially an iPhone.
BlackBerry 10.
BlackBerry.
Yeah, well, I've already looked at it. It's a great piece of hardware. And I really like – I think RIM has caught the flavor. They're getting back to what they have to get to they're basically building it for IT managers, because the whole problem with bringing your own device to work is the IT department has completely lost control when people bring their own devices in. There's no security. There's no standards.
And no one is choosing BlackBerry. Well, very few people are choosing BlackBerry over Android.
Individuals aren't, but there's still so many BlackBerries out there. I mean, people, there's all this doom and gloom about RIM, and I get that. But you and I, who have phones that are 6 months old in our hands, yes, we don't have BlackBerries because RIM hasn't had a good answer for over a year. But there are still millions and millions of people who are using BlackBerries. They're still out there, and there's still a lot of corporations and enterprises that run on BlackBerries. That's where they have their services. Now, people are bringing iPhones and Android devices into those places, but they aren't necessarily becoming full participants of their entire network in all of their services. And the IT department doesn't have much control over the security of those devices. So RIM's stepping up to the plate with what hopefully is going to be a good phone that people are going to say, oh, it'll do most of what I want as far as my personal life. It'll do everything I want as far as my business life. That's where RIM might have a chance to get back in. And they're paying attention to two things that I think are crucial. The IT managers is one. They've created a partitioning system where you have all your personal software on one side of the phone and all your business on the other, and you can't actually copy and paste back and forth between them.
Wow.
So they're actually, it's a silo for security purposes. That is going to just turn IT managers cranks like crazy.
And the second is typing. Angry Birds.
No, typing. Oh. if you think back to the old BlackBerry days, well, you didn't have a BlackBerry. But the keyboard was magic.
Yes,
I mean, I could fast type on my BlackBerry keyboard or as fast as I could on my notebook. I really could. And so I miss that on the iPhone or the Android phone with a touchscreen. I'm nowhere near as good a typist on it. And the predictive text, you know, that as you type, the word appears, it works okay on the smartphone. But what RIM has done is they've gone back and they said, we're the keyboard king. So they've built an on-screen keyboard that as you type and as your thumb hits each letter, right over your thumb, the predictive word appears. So you don't have to, your eye doesn't have to travel up into the entry screen. So it should dramatically improve people's typing on-screen typing speed, which is going to be awesome. So I think they're getting back to a couple things that they were known for in the past: security and data entry. And let's see if they become a playa again. We'll find out January 30th when we see the device.
Did you just say playa?
Playa. Playa. I'm getting into
it. It's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Steve's gone urban.
Here's what'll be the big Christmas miracle: if all of our guests actually show up on time with the weather and the traffic the way it is. We were planning on talking to Jillian Shaw, not necessarily about technology too much. We're going to talk to her about the Adopt a School program that the Vancouver Sun is doing, which is a great program. It's unfortunate that it's needed, but bless them for doing it. So we're going to talk to Jillian about that, talk to her a little bit about tech. We got Akash Sablock coming in. He's going to hopefully bring in all sorts of gadgets so that we can look at what the stocking stuffers in front under the tree. And we're hoping that he's going to make it. And we got the boys from London Drugs. They were planning on dropping in to
round table
riff on technology. What technology we think is going to be hot, what people are buying. And
a geek circle, so to speak.
A geek circle. We're just going to have a little bit of a geek love in. But we'll see. And, you know, it's going to be fascinating. We'll see who appears here today on Dotto Tech. I'm Steve Dotto. We've got Art Factora. And we'll be right back after this.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Well, Christmas is just around the corner, so you know we haven't done too much on Christmas coming up. So I invited the posse from London Drugs to come in and to chat just a little bit about Christmas stuff, and also maybe look a little bit about what they're looking for in the coming year. We got Theo Horstel, we have Ryan Mohagan, and we have Cedric Tetzel here. And thanks for coming in, guys. Thanks for braving the weather and coming so far to such a long journey to get in. It was a tough block. Their offices are just a couple blocks away. But, you know, you don't want to go farther in a day like today in Vancouver. It was fun on the roads today. So let's you know, you're a week to go for Christmas. I got to ask the retail question. Is it shaping up to be a good Christmas for the retailers? Are the retailers happy out there?
It's a different season altogether, because first time we had this thing known as Black Friday.
It's the first time it's big in Canada?
It's big in Canada and to this extent. It is almost like having a second Boxing Day.
You saw those kind of numbers, did you?
Yeah, it was just the first time experience, because used to be all the newspaper would be talking about people lining up to go south of the border. Well, it looks like everybody stayed north of the border.
Really?
So it's quite of a learning experience for us, for sure.
And now it coincided in this. We're a little bit off the what our agenda was, but it coincided a lot, really closely, with the launch of your new website. London Drugs launched their new website. It was just a couple of weeks before that, wasn't it?
Yeah, we launched it at the first week of November, and Black Friday came to us the end.
And did you notice the web traffic? Did a lot of the stuff come through the web?
Yeah, actually, it's a new tool for us. We're learning every day. One of the things we found is that people have really taken to our order on the web, pay for it on the web, and pick up at the store.
You guys have been telling me that, and I don't get it.
Well,
I guess it's a speed and efficiency thing?
It's just a lot of people like the... we're dealing with a lot of knowledgeable customers. They already know what they want. They send it. They order it on the web, and we have the variety. Everything from high-tech stuff to toothpaste.
I tried to do it for a Furby.
Yeah, when did you try, though?
A couple weeks.
Yeah,
couple
see,
weeks
that's
ago.
Not good.
Anyway,
they sold out. They sold out
yeah,
a month ago.
I know they sold yes, out. I know they sold out. I got one.
Good. Good for you.
Don't say that.
I think that it's great for people who are time-starved, where you can place an order online, You can still be at work if you're doing that on your off time.
And you know you're getting what you want. That's
and then
the thing.
After work, you pick it up on the way home, you're done.
And it's the shopping center. Yeah. It's kind of like a concierge service.
Yeah, that's a good, very good explanation, yeah.
Now, they add the drive-through lane, and I'm all over it. I'm just offering it as a suggestion.
Yeah, but you'd want some sort of a cheeseburger as well, so we don't do that, unfortunately.
I might want a cheeseburger.
Yet.
You do food. You do some food. Okay, let's talk Christmas season. And Cedric, you polled your staff to find out what the hot tech toys or the hot tech items were for the geeks out there. So did anything surprise you that came back?
Well, we work with the products all the time. And we do all the ads all the time, so nothing surprised us except what came up on top were products that express a little bit of the giver's personality. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, one of the top vote getters, because I sent the ballot out to all our staff in the high techs area, and the top vote getter was a keyboard.
A keyboard,
exactly. That's my reaction. Except
what keyboard?
It's a wireless keyboard that works with smart TVs.
Oh.
And it turns out that people are now turning their TVs into their family hub. So, and everybody looks at all the, you have to check in on different accounts and so forth, and a TV remote are not designed for that. Mm-hmm. So you have a keyboard that has a touchpad and QWERTY keyboard.
So is it for people doing Facebook in that little sidebar in these smart
to
TVs?
To do searches and what have you, searches. Surfing the net. People use TVs for a lot more things than just watching Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, we have to acknowledge that people are using the internet not just on computers anymore.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
The phone's obvious.
Yeah, and the
Xbox
tablet.
Maybe, and PlayStation much less so. But absolutely, yeah, the TV now with smart TVs, to Cedric's point, everything from Netflix, yeah. You know, I don't know if you've ever tried to search for a movie title using the, left, 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 up, up, up,
okay,
right.
Okay, so typing
enter.
In
yeah,
text.
Yeah,
and
I think that's
that with
part
keyboard.
Of it, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And isn't it who's the manufacturer that's got the remote with the keyboard on the backside? Is it Samsung? Their new smart TV, they've got the kind of remote on the front, but the keyboard is on the backside.
Google TV made by Sony.
Yeah, okay, that's the one. Which sounds like a really compelling product.
That actually is the most versatile of the media streamers, as we would call them, because you get a full version of Chrome. Mm-hmm. You get access to all the Android market, so you can download. And it's a beautiful remote. You got QWERTY on one side. You got a touchpad on the other.
Mm-hmm. And what does that one retail for, roughly?
$200.
$200. And you just plug it into your internet connection and you're up and running.
Don't even plug it in. You can just seek out the wireless network and you're good to go.
It seeks out your wireless. Mm-hmm. And so this, and the streaming stuff that we're going to get off it is going to be existing streaming services like YouTube, or if you sign up for Netflix.
Netflix, yes, that's correct.
But and it also acts as your Chrome browser on your TV.
Yeah, and then there's different products available. For example, Roku, they actually have 259 channels available.
I'm a big convert to streaming audio. And it's not, unfortunately, a product that you guys can carry, but I don't think you carry it anyways. But the Sonos system, I installed one at home, and oh my goodness, I'm smitten by that.
It's been around for a while, yeah.
It has
yeah.
been, but they've just refined it so much, and the ability to do the zones. And the streaming, not Roku, but the one that I've been using on it is audio service. Is the I've lost the name of it. It's called
Songza.
Wow, I haven't used my own playlist since I got it. We just use different Songza playlists. It's wow. It's they've really hit a home run, I think, with that.
The nice thing about that, to bring up the point about media streamers, is that you can use that on a media streamer. You can use it on your phone. You can use it on your tablet. You can use it on your computer. So you have this wherever you are. Your personality follows you. So true definition of the cloud.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the because a lot of the because Roku also is hardware, but they also have media streaming hardware. They played in that space really aggressively for quite a while.
Yes,
so are they now becoming more of a software solution?
It's still more hardware, but what was I going to say? Oh, these type of devices too, they'll turn your older TV into a smart TV.
Okay.
So you don't even have to have the latest TV. These devices do that for you. So. It's a very good feature.
So is that a point that's going to be an issue with the smart TVs and with the like with the Google Play and the Google TV by Sony? Is that a less appealing product if you're buying a brand new TV as opposed to retrofitting an old TV, because the brand new TVs have their own smarts built in?
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of overlap. Okay. My own situation, I do have a smart TV, but I find their applications to be limited relative to somebody like a Roku or a Google TV. In the case of Google TV, apart from the surfing and the streaming, you can also have picture-in-picture off your regular cable or satellite feed.
Now, it does that independent of your tuner, of the tuner that's built into the TV. Because I know I've got a big, I've got a nice Panasonic, but it doesn't do picture-in-picture. So I could do that with the, but it would be one source would be the internet, and the other source would be my TV. It's because you don't have two tuners then, do you?
Both feeds will go into the Sony internet player first before it gets fed into the television. So it's the Google TV that is turning it into a picture-in-picture.
So you can actually do picture-in-picture of two different network streams as well.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think you hit on something earlier about the difference between a smart TV and one of these devices that turn it into a smart TV, as Ryan was saying, is that one is scalable and upgradable in a sense, and the smart TV is almost not upgraded. It's proprietary, and that's the key. And I think the streamers, Google, Roku, they do an excellent job of identifying to everybody what their power.
Which, I mean, here's one of the reasons that the market is anticipating and waiting to see what Apple does in this space, if Apple ever does it in this space.
Well, they are doing it in the space, but it is to a proprietary point. Absolutely.
Apple TV. But, but it's, again, less proprietary than the, because the thing that, what I was going to say is, if you buy a Samsung or an LG TV, and they might have a lot of smarts built in, both those companies have a history of, in their cell phones and other products, of kind of moving on to the next thing fairly quickly, which means you could be left with an orphan to a certain extent. If you go with a smart TV, like a set like the Google Box or Apple's TV, they don't leave orphans behind as much, because those boxes will be upgradable, as is the Xbox 360 in the same area. Because as new software features come online, you can upgrade and you can download, which is probably going to be less the case when you're dealing with a vertical solution from a TV manufacturer.
Yep.
So it's going to be a compelling space. This might be the year of the smart TV, as we move ahead.
Smart TV is already being installed in so many homes. Yeah. It's a matter of getting maximum use out of it. I think this is what's coming.
Yeah. Well, it didn't even make it on my list of things. Smart TV is a big thing, but you know, the streaming stuff did, but the smart TV, good. Okay, what else was there? The keyboard led us into the smart TV. It was the thin edge of the wedge.
Well, one of the things I find is, as part of my job, I travel a lot. And what we find is that when you're in foreign countries, you come up with different rules. So if I wanted to watch a hockey game, Well, you know that thing that we used to play around here on ice, people with skates?
Curling.
Like traffic
with
pucks. Well,
that too. But basically, if you want to watch some of these games, once the station senses that you're not in BC or Vancouver or Canada anymore, you can't get it.
Yeah.
So what we brought in is a product called Surf Easy. It spoofs your IP address so it appears that you are actually surfing in, say, North America or Europe. And when you do that, you get access to all your Netflix when you're traveling in, say, the Middle East or in China.
So how does the NetEasy work? Is it a software piece or is it a hardware box?
It's actually both. It comes in a USB stick and it comes attached into something that looks like a credit card. So you can just put it in your pocket and you're off and running. When you're ready to run, just plug it into the USB port of your notebook. And now you might be physically in China, but electronically you're in New Jersey.
Okay. How much does that thing cost?
$70.
$70.
Yes.
So, and I'm sure that you wouldn't authorize this at all, but theoretically, if a person was to purchase this device and then sign up for a Netflix account in the States, they could then get the U.S. Netflix.
Better than that.
Yeah, actually, and of course, this is testing purposes only.
Yes, nobody would ever actually do this.
But with your Canadian Netflix account,
yes,
you can view the U.S. Netflix.
As if you were traveling Las Vegas or whatever. Yep.
It's
really
true.
Because if you're down there, you get the access. Because theirs is way better.
It's a licensing thing, but you know, the primary purpose, as we've alluded to,
is to service the traveling clientele so they can gain access to well, their hockey games.
Yeah. Well, and actually, that's not the primary purpose. The primary purpose is actually for making yourself completely anonymous on the internet to protect yourself against spyware and everything like that. And the byproduct of it is that it physically, or I would say, puts you in a different
city. Virtual space.
Virtual space.
Hello. Actually, Teo brought up a very good point.
What's that one called?
SurfEasy.
SurfEasy.
From a security standpoint, some countries in the world are not as liberal as Canada.
Yeah.
So certain countries I travel in, they won't let me on Twitter. They won't let me on to Facebook or Blogspot.
So this works in those countries?
They would work because to the internet, you're in somewhere you want to be.
Yeah, it's a tool.
Instead of where you are.
How you use it is totally up to you, but... you know, the primary purpose is actually a very compelling one, as Cedric was saying.
Well, and it's also very good for your privacy as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's an awful lot of very good reasons that it's going to, and it also creates some convenience in some areas that, you know, the internet is less than convenient.
But, you know, U.S. services like Pandora for Music, that's a competitor to Songza, which you can't access in Canada.
Which is why I've been so excited about Songza, because I had Pandora in the early days, miss it.
Yeah.
And, you know, unless you kind of go through your own setting up of, you know, being able to spoof the internet yourself, which there are ways, but it's a little more risky.
There you go.
So this is it, $70. And it's an ongoing license. It's not something they have to buy new one of each year.
Nope.
There's no monthly fee, nothing like that.
Very, very nice. I like that one. I think that's a good stocking stuffer. If anybody's listening, that could go in Steve's stocking quite happily. I know I said off the top of the show to Art that there was no technology I really wanted. I'm modifying that disclaimer saying I do want a SurfEasy. What else?
And it's compatible with PC or a Mac, laptop or a desktop.
Beautiful. Cedric?
Like I said, things that express personality. Yeah. So for my family, I do calendars, photographic calendars.
Uh-huh.
So with a custom-made calendar, I put in all my family's birthdays and anniversaries.
So pictures of people's wedding pictures
and it's very handy and amazing. It's a Christmas present that people use for 12 months.
That's
and they
good.
Stare at it.
And,
for
and so
months.
What do you use to build your calendars?
You download the software at londondrex.com.
Okay.
And build it, send it in, and you can go pick it up at the store when it's ready. They'll email you when it's ready and just go pick it up.
And it's pretty quick turnaround for those things. So still enough time before Christmas?
There should be enough time for Christmas, depending on the style that you want. Those are very popular this time of year. I actually, because you can start the year at any time during the year, so it usually is a great gift for my in-laws. For their birthdays.
Oh, okay.
So I can send one out in February.
You give your in-laws birthday presents.
Yeah.
That's why Cedric's been married so long. That works well.
Yeah, it's the same process for photo books as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So big Christmas present around our neck of the woods is creating a photo book for, you know, the household. So the grandma and grandpas, the aunt and uncles, whatnot. And then, you know, I have two young kids. So there you go. That's your event for the year. And we do a year in review. Send it out whether they like it or not. Yeah. They usually do like it.
Yeah.
And every year they have a soft or hardcover photo book.
So let's take a peek into the crystal ball then, because you guys have to figure out what everybody's going to be buying next year. So what are the topics and what are the areas that you guys think are going to be hot as we move ahead next year?
Oh, I think, you know, it's ubiquitous tablets, notebooks, and desktops. You know, Cedric has been quoted many years ago as saying it's not the one PC per household, which Bill Gates said many years ago, but it's not even one PC per room, which Cedric said. It's now one or two PCs or laptops or tablets for everybody in the
devices.
House. Absolutely,
in,
yeah.
The word device is almost got to be... Yeah.
And if you can't turn a corner and pick up something that you can access the web or the internet or songs or whatever, you know, people start twitching their fingers. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, myself, I can count five or six different devices at home that within arm's reach that I can pick up. So the technology is getting less expensive. It's getting more powerful, and it's getting less reliant on local storage. It's becoming more... central to everywhere.
I was speaking with a friend the other day, and he said that he sat down and counted up the number of web-enabled devices in his house. Two kids, school-age kids. Guess what the number of web devices that had access to his router were?
I'm going to guess over 25.
It was just between 20 and 25. I think it was 22.
And that's the average person. Most people
don't
realize.
That's ridiculous.
Well, every phone accesses the web.
Yes. So that's four times phones.
You know, I know it was.
I've got four Apple exactly. TVs.
iPads. And
tablets, streaming devices, TVs now.
iPods.
iPods.
And in conjunction with that, then, what I feel is going to be very important next year is going to be the networking, which, you know, if you're going to have all these devices, you want to have a good, robust network so that you get good connection in that. And somebody who's bought in a network, a wireless router maybe 2 years ago, that's not good enough anymore.
It isn't. Wow. And I struggle with that because I'm wondering about, you know, what network speeds they're getting within their internal network versus how much we're going to get, to the internet from our drop. And the reason I say that is because increasingly Canada is becoming a third world country as far as internet speed from your home to the general internet.
Speed's part of it, but also another part of it is the coverage throughout your house.
That is a big issue, and the mystery of those dark spots that you have. Like, why is it always crappy when I sit in this chair? And you know that the coverage is, it's there, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's going to be a real poise to do some really good sales next year.
The price of the devices is so reasonable on the web enabled on the routers and stuff like
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. Very affordable.
And everybody who has one should really look at an automatic online-based backup system for their local storage as well, rather than plugging in hard drives to back up your computer. Setting up some sort of wireless backup, as well as your web-based backup, which is a good strategy.
Any type of backup is always a good idea.
And the staggering number of people still live.
I know.
It's just but that's not okay. So we got from Theo. It's all about just more devices.
I'd say more devices. I was going to dovetail onto the networking. I think people are going to be picking up more devices that they didn't even realize connected to the internet, such as thermostats.
Yes.
Anything that...
Are you guys carrying any of those web thermostats yet?
They're not available yet.
Oh, okay.
Not available in Canada yet.
They're not?
No.
But you're going to get them, I hope. Man, I love
If they're available, we'll get them.
I want one of those.
Yeah.
I think that they're a brilliant idea. That whole... I've been looking at the internet-enabled locks. Have you checked out those systems?
Yeah, it's remote access everything. I mean, cameras have been around for many years. It's available. People haven't taken advantage of it, but I think remote telepresencing is really the theme. So if I'm at the office or I'm, 1,000 miles away, or kilometers away, I can change the settings on my thermostat. I can, take a look at the puppy room or whatever you want to call it. You can do anything from a telepresence. And, I think that's become more and more prevalent.
Well, and there's IP cameras as well, where you can dial in from your phone and see what's happening at your place,
awesome
at your house.
To be able to watch a burglar break in real time, which always amused the heck out of me. And Cedric, I'm going to wrap things up with you because I know you are you're a dyed-in-the-wool RIM BlackBerry guy. And so January 30th, the big day. Do you think RIM's on the comeback path?
All indications that they are doing a lot of things right. They are accepting their operating system. The BlackBerry Fusion allows corporations to tie in iOS devices and Android devices, and they're coming out with their own that allows the corporate user to separate their personal life from their business life. So everything they've done, they seem to have done their homework and actually talk to end users, which is an unusual and advantage to them.
Talking to them as opposed to at them.
Yes, exactly.
And you mentioned a product that we haven't talked much about, which is the BlackBerry Fusion product. Is it BlackBerry Fusion or RIM
BlackBerry.
Fusion? BlackBerry Fusion, which is basically a management system that IT departments are going to have that will enable them to manage their whole online, their whole mobility inventory of people bringing their own devices into the office and be able to create some levels of security. Not as deep a level of security as they can in their own RIM devices, but some measure of control.
And I think that's where going along with what Theo had said about all these devices available at home for the user, the bring your own device movement is here to stay. And I think next year the IT departments of various companies will realize that they have to manage all of these in order to keep everybody secure. So mechanisms like the Fusion and other ways to manage the data and the security is going to be very key.
And the key to the RIM system is it works on their hardware platform, but it also works with iOS and Android. And I don't know if anybody else is quite playing in that space.
Not in that degree.
Yeah, so it could be January 30th. It could be a turnaround year. RIM could be the comeback player of the year when we're doing this show in December next year. That's providing that the Aztec calendar is not going to just put paid to us all. Let's hope. Gentlemen, am I allowed to politically correctly say Merry Christmas to you?
Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. This is the gang, Teo. We've got Ryan and Cedric from London Drugs. Thanks for coming in, guys. And
thanks for
helping us out all year.
Thank you.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Rick Yeager of AppMan.tv joins us. He talks about the Apple and the Mac world. And you sent me a note today saying we're going to talk about Star Wars. Is this in honor of Disney buying Star Wars, the Star Wars franchise?
It's in honor of that and the fact that they're finally a decent iOS game, iOS Star Wars game.
There is?
There
what is.
What
is it?
And yes, Disney bought Lucasfilm for $4 billion.
Yes. So what's the good game?
What's the good game? It is Angry Birds. Angry Birds has become the great, incredible empire of gamedness on the iPad.
How did I miss Angry Birds Star Wars? How could it have happened? Oh, I know. I don't play Angry Birds. But go ahead.
Yeah.
So what's good about it? What are you flinging? Are you flinging Darth Vader? Is that Luke Skywalker? What's the deal?
Well, if you don't play, well, it's less easy to explain. But Angry Birds begat Angry Birds Space, which allowed you to launch birds around planets. They go into orbit and eventually destroy little buildings with pigs in them.
Oh, okay.
Now we've taken the next step is where we've armed the birds with lightsabers and blaster guns.
Okay.
And the Force, for that matter.
And do you try and get them into the ventilation shaft?
No, but I did find a level where they have the garbage compactor thing.
Oh, okay. And, that's cool. Yeah.
And you could crush the pigs in that.
Okay.
There's always been Star Wars games on the iPad, or at least in the iOS world.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first got my iPod Touch, the cool game to download was The Force Unleashed. And you were Darth Vader's apprentice. You learned these little gestures that you draw on the screen and do the Force push and pick guys up and throw them around. And it was cool. And then the company that developed it lost their, well, I gather they didn't make enough money to renew the license.
Oh, okay.
To keep using the Star Wars characters. So the app has disappeared from the App Store.
Okay.
And this happens a lot. There was a Diner Dash clone called Star Wars Cantina where you had to try and keep the patrons of your crazy alien bar happy. It was fun and then disappeared.
And then the problem is that it also disappears from your iPod. When
For
you
sure.
Think, yeah.
So now with iCloud, it might be a bit easier. You can back up to iCloud and keep those games. But it's a good thing to keep in mind. Yeah, it doesn't happen often, but it happens enough that you should back up your apps and make sure they don't disappear.
So are there any other good Star Wars games?
There's a couple. I mean, there's Angry Birds, which is under $1 for the iPhone and about $3 for the iPad. Why they can't give me one app, I don't know. But anyway. There's Star Wars Pit Droids, which is a fun puzzle game. The Pit Droids were just a minor kind of comic relief element of, I think it was the Phantom Menace or something. And what you try and herd these colored droids into their little pens and try not to bump them into each other because they destroy each other or something like that. It's a cool little puzzle game.
Okay.
And that's $2. Star Wars Pit Droids. There's also Star Wars Arcade Falcon Gunner, which is $3. It's an augmented reality game.
Okay. Have
you talked about augmented reality much?
Yes, well, we have talked about it. So that's where you are actually using the real physical world that you're in and using the camera to identify things and then to work with that.
Right. So basically, it doesn't interact much with your surroundings, but you are shooting TIE fighters out of your living room, basically. Mm. So you've gotten into that little gunner center of the Millennium Falcon and you're escaping the Death Star, and you're turning around in your living room shooting TIE fighters and asteroids.
And you see your living room in the background?
You see your living room in the background. It's a little bizarre, but it's kind of fun for $3.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so those are worthwhile games. The Pit Droids and the Millennium Falcon, or the Falcon Gunner. Okay.
Yeah, I'll give those my honorable mentions. My dishonorable mentions are LEGO Star Wars Battle Orders, which is free, and it's overpriced.
It's well, the LEGO Star Wars things are doing well though.
In this case, it's a ripoff of a much better game that, you know, admittedly, it's a $3 game. It's called Euphloria.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a strategy game where you have these orbiting ships going around planets, and once you've taken over that planet, you can make more ships. And then once you have enough ships, you send them off to another planet.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this kind of conquest where eventually you get to planets that have bad guys on it, and you shoot them down, and
if you've got better planets, some of them have better resources, and some of that sort of thing.
It's a
typical conquest type game where you're building.
Typical conquest game. The LEGO Star Wars Battle Orders one is basically a big ad for Star Wars LEGO sets.
Mm.
Between every level, there is the same animation, and occasionally an ad for LEGO. And it reminded me a lot, I'm going to date myself here, but it reminded me a lot of the old Spider-Man and Rocket Robin Hood cartoons, where at the end of every commercial break, they would show the same song and dance before getting back to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what this does.
You do not diss Rocket Robin Hood.
Oh, no, I'm not dissing
Band
that at
of
all.
Brothers marching together. Or some,
that's the one.
That's
the song.
Rocket Robin Hood. It was awesome. So now I'm dating myself because no one will. Waka waka. Okay, what are the other bad ones?
Another bad one is Darth Malmy, which just sounds like a joke you'd hear on late night TV. It's another augmented reality thing. It's not really a game. It lets you face paint yourself into Darth Maul, which was one of the villains of, again, Phantom Menace. And that's all it does. And it didn't even work on my phone when I tried it earlier this week. It's free and it's overpriced.
Okay. So we will pass on Darth Maulmy. And you've got one other dishonorable mention.
Dishonorable mention is Star Wars Blu-ray Ask Vader. Another free game, and it's a bit better than the other two, but it's a Star Wars themed 20Q game, and basically 20 questions. And you think of something, and Vader with his immense Jedi mind tricks will determine exactly what you're thinking after asking you repeated questions. I don't know. They always talk about the imbalance in the Force.
Mm-hmm.
This must be what the imbalance is causing, because I would think he would just be able to know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
He had to ask a whole bunch of questions.
It's like the whole psychic thing. You know, why in the world do they ever have to advertise a psychic convention? I just wonder, you know. It seems a waste of money, doesn't it?
It would seem so.
So we've got Angry Birds, Star Wars, must have. If you're interested, Pit Droids and Falcon Gunner are good to have. Don't have, which, you know what everybody's going to download right away is the Star Wars Battle Order, the Darth Malmy, and the Ask Vader, because we've said they suck.
And they're free, those. So
nothing lost except your time, which you will never recover. You can check out Rick's other stuff at appman.tv, appman.tv. And Rick, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Steve, and may the Force be with you.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
All the best laid plans of mice and men. Akash Sablok is joining us, but not in studio as we'd planned, but instead by phone. What is this newfangled device?
I am missing you guys. I wish I was there. Get some Christmas spirit.
Yeah, well, there's no Christmas spirit here right now, although Art's looking pretty Scrooge-like right now. He was telling me about how Christmas at his house wasn't Christmas till somebody was crying.
Well, you know, you can look like Scrooge, just don't act like Scrooge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. So I wanted to talk to you about kind of stocking stuffer gifts, last-minute ideas for the coolest ideas before Christmas. And so you've sent me a list. Let's blast through them and see if there's anything that really resonates with any of our listeners. So what do you got for us?
Well, you know, I tried to make a list of something that would fit everybody on your list. If you've got the dancer, the music lover, there's this super tooth. It's called the Disco 2 Bluetooth speaker. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about a foot high, very narrow. It's got like an hourglass shape to it. Lots of fun. And, of course, it works with Bluetooth, so almost any cell phone or tablet you'll be able to stream music off of. And very, very nice sound. They've done a great job of packaging it very well, packaging the speakers very well, and it gives you a great audio output anywhere in the house. You know, with Bluetooth, you've got about 30 feet or 10 meters of range.
Okay, and these guys have a whole series of different Bluetooth speakers, some of them designed for your car, even if your car isn't equipped with Bluetooth.
Correct, exactly.
Yeah, okay. So that's a kind of a compelling... You know, the whole idea behind Bluetooth speakers and streaming speakers, it's great, except that I will give one caveat, is your battery life on your device is at risk always if you're streaming a lot of Bluetooth over the air.
Of course. Yeah, no, there is. It does use up more battery than a direct connection. But, you know, I'll tell you, there's times when you just nice to have that speaker. You can mount it up on a higher level in a room, and then, you know, if you're having a party or anything like that,
yeah,
you can have the speaker running, and you've got the control of the music in your pocket.
That's right. You marry this thing to a mirror ball, and it's a party waiting to happen.
Yes. I'd like to go to that party for sure.
There we go. What's up next? You got a watch for me.
I've got a watch. Now, you know, this is a little bit, you know, everybody needs a little bling in their life. There's a male version and a female version. This is a Phosphor Appear Black watch, and it's called a crystal watch. And the reason being is if you look at it, it just looks like a round dial full of crystals. And the crystals actually appear and disappear to form the time on there. And it's actually quite neat to watch. You really have to see it in person to appreciate it. But as the time moves along, the crystals appear and disappear, making the numbers on the watch.
So it looks almost like just a beaded surface sort of thing, because it's large individual pixels, a la the old pixel boards that you would see outside, you know, on the highway and stuff like that, as far as the overall structure. But it's very kind of, I won't say deco looking, but it's got a decorative look to it.
Oh, it is very neat, and like I said, it's quite the bling, because they are crystals. And they appear and disappear quite neat, and it's very fast. Like, it works very smoothly. So neat to watch, and it's great to have on your wrist.
And these people at Phosphor, they also have e-ink watches, which, I mean, is going to be, that's, I think, the watch that's married to the iPad to your iPhone is a similar
exactly,
technology,
yeah.
Right?
No, and that e-ink is great. It's very, very minimal power consumption on that.
And and they can format the screen in a lot of ways. The information density on that screen can be an awful lot.
Yes.
Very high. Okay, good stuff. And so that's all available online, I imagine, not at any local retailers.
It is, yes, at phosphorwatches.com.
Got it. Okay. And we will, of course, have links to this on our website after the show tonight.
And so another music doc, and this one's got a bit of a twist on it and going a little bit retro. It's the Sharps DK KP959P. It's a slim digital dock. It's upright. Now, it has something a little bit old school, and I'm surprised we're talking about CDs as old school, but it actually has a CD player built into it. It is Bluetooth, and it is also AirPlay compatible for your iPhone or your
Very
iPad
nice.
Devices.
That's a nice feature. Now, I guess the thing is, we're in a transition phase. What is the connector on it? Is it the old iPod connector?
It is a 30-pin. It is a 30-pin yeah. connector. So if you're going to use a new iPhone 5 or an iPad mini or the new iPad 4th gen, you're going to need to have the adapter.
Yeah, I think that's going to impact sales for the next little while on all these devices as people are transitioning. You know, the willingness to buy an old school 30-pin connector dock is probably fading very quickly.
It is, but you know, I use a lot of my old iPods specifically for this reason, to leave it on the dock and as a music player. But having said that, this unit does have the AirPlay as well, so you don't really physically need to attach your device to the unit.
Did you hear what you just said, you consumer terrible? Oh, I use some of my old iPods. How many do you have?
Oh, gosh, don't ask.
Okay, let's just move on.
Six of them. Oh, I keep passing them on to the kids. So.
Oh, yeah, okay. Kohler has a new shower head.
Yes, they do, and it's
what
very
could
rare
possibly
that,
be exciting about a shower head?
Well, a plumbing device in a tech segment. Why not? And Kohler's got some amazing toilets that, you know, basically do everything. And this one is going back again to the music theme. It actually has a built-in Bluetooth speaker, so it's the Kohler Moxie, M-O-X-I-E.
That is cool.
It is very cool. So the center part of the shower head is a Bluetooth wire. It's a waterproof Bluetooth speaker. And you know, the biggest thing is a lot of people do take their phones into the bathroom, believe it or not. I know it's a shock. But with this, now you can leave your phone outside, start the music, and you're inside the shower. And obviously, try not to dance in the shower.
I like that idea. How much does that thing cost?
It's $299, so it's a little bit pricey, but I mean, obviously you're getting fantastic Kohler quality. There's no doubt about that.
I don't know how well Kohler is known for their music quality.
Well, fantastic plumbing quality. The
okay.
music is not that bad. And the very cool thing about it is that you can actually pull the speaker out. If you need it in a pinch, you have a portable speaker that you can walk around with as well.
Power source is a battery?
It's a battery. It's a rechargeable battery. It uses a micro USB charger.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with, and it's pretty straightforward.
You pull it out to charge it, and wow, that's pretty cool. Having a little bit of the news or music in the shower while you're taking your shower.
Yeah.
But it's probably, again, not environmentally friendly because it will encourage people to take longer showers, ergo more hot water.
True, but you know, you can enjoy your shower. Or you know what? If you have a favorite song that you can time it for 2 minutes or 3 minutes.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
You need to be done by the time that shower is the song's finished.
What is the Tape Tiger?
Well, you know, it's not very tech as far as there's no batteries or displays or anything like that. But it's a very, very neat design, and it's something that right now, obviously, we're not watching any hockey because thanks to the wonderful NHL. There's no hockey, but people are still playing hockey, and they're enjoying themselves. The Tape Tiger is a small little device. It's about the size of a thick pen, and basically what it does is it's designed to take off tape off a hockey stick's blade.
Oh.
And so the hockey lover on your list, the hockey player on your list, this is the ultimate stocking stuffer. It's only about $20.
Oh, very
and,
nice.
Yeah, it's very neat. It's got a little blade that's shaped specifically to take the tape off a blade. And that's, you know, that's one of the hardest things to do because they're on there so tight. And, you know, being on the ice and everything like that, it just rips it right off.
Oh, there you go. Tape Tiger.
And the same unit actually has a lace puller on it. And if you get any burrs on your blades, you can take that off as well. It's all in one.
No bottle opener?
You know what? I'm not supposed to say that, but I'm sure that there is a bottle opener on there. So you've been to a couple of hockey games, haven't you?
Yeah, well, post-game, yes.
There you go.
And our friends at Epson? Our friends at Epson have another device?
Sorry?
Our friends at Epson. I'm moving us on to the next segment elegantly.
Okay, all right. So where's Philips?
No, it's Epson in my list.
Epson, there you go. The Epson Expression Premium XP800.
That's it.
Now, this is an all-in-one printer scanner. It also has AirPrint, which is for the iDevices, your iPad or your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
You can print wirelessly from almost any device. Now, the very cool thing about it is the form factor, it's very, very small. And, you know, this is the biggest concern that I have with all-in-one printers and scanners prior to this. They were huge. They would take up so much desk space, and you would hide them underneath the desk or put them on a shelf or whatever. Now, this thing is tiny. So, yes, you can do print wirelessly and put it away on a shelf or something like that, and your printing's done. That's great. But for your scanning, you'd like to have it near your desk. And, you know, especially if you're scanning old family photos, you'd like to have it near and close to you. And this unit is very tiny. The footprint is very, very small. It makes it enjoyable to actually have on your desk, and it's very sharp-looking. Big touch screen, does basically anything, and it'll print on CDs and DVDs.
Okay, and Epson's always done a great job. And I'm finding their ink is increasingly reasonably priced.
It is getting better, and yeah. The efficient use of ink as well. So
yes. Now we're on to Mr. Phillips.
Mr. Phillips, the Seiko, I shouldn't say Seiko, the Seiko Intellia Cappuccino Machine. And I've played around with a lot of cappuccino machines. And, you know, one person said, oh, those things are so environmentally unfriendly. And I said, why? They said, oh, you put the little cup in and you have to throw the cup. I said, no. This is the real deal. You put pure coffee beans on the top. It'll grind it. It'll do everything.
I'm looking at this right now. Now, I didn't realize that Phillips had formed a relationship with Seiko. So I have a Seiko espresso machine at home.
Yeah.
And it is what is it called? It's, I lost the name. Anyways, it's like, it cost me 100,000 air miles.
Wow.
You pour the beans in the top, you pour some water in the hopper, you press a button, it grinds the beans, it makes the pucks, it discards the beans, the discarded coffee into another hopper that you then pour out. It is an automatic coffee machine. It was about the same price. It's about $900 as this one was, I think, if you purchased it new. It has changed my life. I think it is. I can't say how much I like this thing, but it I love. And so these guys at Seiko, they make a good one. So if they've branded with Phillips, I think you've got a winner there. This one looks like it.
Sharp looking machine. You'd be proud to have it on your.
Do you have one? Now, did you get one at home?
I've got one that I'm playing around with. I've got a lot of coffee drinkers at home. I personally don't, but I've got a lot of coffee drinkers at home. And they love it. And the cappuccino function, I mean, it's you put the milk into the jar, you push a button, it'll froth everything for you.
Yeah.
You get to sit back and enjoy.
Mine just does the steam, but it does the steam very well. It's good controls for doing the steam if you want to do that. But we just make Americanos. We just make espresso shots, and then we boil some water, and then we make Americanos in the morning. And it's
there you go.
It's a little bit of heaven. And Art, we make a note that Akash does not drink coffee. Not sure how much longer we can use him.
Hmm. I'm gonna call you Barista Steve from now on.
Hey, Barista Steve. Is that time, Art? Were you giving me a time cue that we're running out of time? We are. You know what? We can't talk about the rest of things, Akash. We have run out of time.
I'll let Santa know. I'll let him know that this is what's happening. I'm sure he'll keep you on the nice list, so you're okay.
Well, thank you very much. And hey, to the entire Sablock family, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your help all year. We'll talk to you in the new year.
All right, take care.
And with that, we have run out of time for this week's show. Art, thanks so much for your efforts this year, really, because we're going to do a pre-tape show next year, best of. So this is our last time in studio for the year of 2012. It's been a good year.
Yeah, or the end forever.
No, don't be saying that. Okay. Don't be saying that. That would make me sad.
It would. Well, you wouldn't know.
You might.
How would you be sad? You wouldn't know.
How do you know I wouldn't know? Yeah, it's a philosophical discussion that we can't deal with today. Merry Christmas to all of our loyal listeners. We appreciate you being around. Drive safely this Christmas season, and please enjoy your families. Take time and really enjoy this Yuletide season, and try not to make everybody cry, Art.
Hug your kids.
Hug your kids. On behalf of Art Factor, I am Steve Dotto. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a very Merry Christmas to all, and we will see you next year right here on Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.